Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the WYLK studios,
the
Jason
Barsky Show.
Here we go.
There's a quote from the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which I'm probably going to butcher, but I'm going to try to get it right. It says, life moves fast. If you don't stop and take a look around every once in a while, you just might miss it. I got the gist of it there. So much is happening right now. It's a bit hectic here. Things flying left, right, up, down. The other day, I was sent to the store for my wife, and she said, get this medicine. She told me what to get. And even knowing what she told me, I still grabbed the wrong thing out of habit. And since it's medically related, and since I heard his name before, I don't think we've ever spoken before, but I want to welcome to the show Tom DiPietro, pharmacist, owner of DiPietro's Pharmacy. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Jason. Thanks for having me on the show, and thanks for all you guys are doing to educate the public. As I was listening before I got on, it amazes me that there is still people out there that aren't taking this serious. So I appreciate you redirecting the conversation and making them aware that, you know, this is indeed a serious issue that we're facing.
Yeah, you know, we get this a lot where people will say, I don't know anyone who, but that doesn't, like, I don't know anyone who was, I don't think I know anyone who has ever been murdered, but that doesn't make murder, like, a myth. Murder happens, I just don't know anyone who was killed.
Right.
You know, people say, does anyone actually know anyone who's gotten sick from this? Well, we're starting to get to that point, you know? And when I saw a friend of a friend who passes away, and I told my wife last night, I said, this guy's probably got to be 50, 55, I don't know. Turns out he's 45. He's younger than I was, and he just passed away. He did have asthma, which falls in line with the things we've heard about, you know, other health risks. But it's scary because we're going to see more and more stories, and the more cases we get, I mean, you probably follow this far better than I do, but the more cases we get, we're going to start to see those anomalies. Just someone very young and healthy, we're going to see these things. It's going to happen.
And unfortunately, I have at least four customers a week that have come back with positive tests. So it is out there. It is in our community. And like you just said, we will see the numbers spike because the test results in the tests are becoming more available and the test results are coming back.
Have you, I know as someone who got a pharmaceutical degree or pharmacy degree, I know how difficult that is. There's a lot of numbers involved. Have you done the math? As we're getting more positive cases, are we seeing the death total spike stay the same? Is it spreading apart? Because I kept saying to everyone, I'm like, look, we're going to start testing people. And the best case scenario, we know this is catchy. We know the number of cases is going to go up. But if the number of deaths doesn't go up as fast, that's a good thing. The further that gets apart, the better it is for everybody.
Yeah, and that's a great question, and one that I haven't been able to dig into because, as you can imagine, people have really heeded the warnings to have medication on hand.
Mm-hmm.
So we have been totally had an influx of patients just trying to keep up and fill their refills at the pharmacy has been a challenge. And due to that, I haven't been really able to dig into the minutia of the numbers, relying on just some basic headlines that sometimes are yeah. skewed as you can imagine.
Even the good ones are skewed. I've watched the numbers go up. I'm just bad at math. I make stupid mistakes, but that's a different story for a different time. Is there a shortage right now on acetaminophen, which is Tylenol, correct?
Yes, that is the ingredient that's in Tylenol. We're seeing a lot of market shortages, and I believe it would just be attributed to people mass buying, similar to toilet paper. Our industry is no different.
Right.
Pharmacies are mass buying. Consumers are mass buying. So we're seeing some shortages with a lot of over-the-counter stuff, like ibuprofen, like acetaminophen, like vitamin C, alcohol, rubbing alcohol, alcohol pads, hydrogen peroxide. But then the scary thing, you know, that's over the counter. But the scary thing that we're seeing is shortages of stuff like albuterol inhalers. So someone that has asthma would need it for in case they had an asthma attack. And then with the recent disclosure of possible hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin being a treatment option, we saw those medications go on a short supply, which is important to note because there's patients that rely on hydroxychloroquine for lupus. And now with, you know, the public, the media attention around the drug, it caused mass buying of the drug. So now we have patients who are really grappling with how are they going to get their medication that they truly need instead of a medication that, that possibly could treat the coronavirus.
How are people buying it up? Are pharmacies buying it up? Or people? Because I understand it's not a prescription drug in some parts of the world. Is that correct?
Right. Well, here's how they're doing it in our country. So you will have, and there's some states that have restricted this, but you'll have healthcare providers, and this is a shame to say, but healthcare providers prescribe the medication for maybe a family member in a large amount. So some states have restricted that, Ohio being one of them. But pharmacies and the government are basically trying to buy as much supply as they can in case there is some sort of huge demand for the drug. So everyone is just trying to proactively get ahead of what could be, and that in turn has caused the supply to just completely bottom out.
Based off of the research I did, and I think I got this right, but this was a couple days ago, when you say the government's buying up, how do you pronounce it? Chloroquine.
Hydroxychloroquine.
Hydroxychloroquine. They're buying it up just in case they need to distribute it. Is this similar to back what they did with the 2009 pandemic, the H1N1, where they had Tamiflu stockpiles of it?
Right. So I think what the government is doing is they're trying to buy it up because what we need to know, Jason, is we need to know if this truly is something that's going to work. So the only way that we could know if this is truly going to work is to set up a clinical trial, meaning we need to watch and analyze, you know, at least over 1,000 people in a trial, administer them the medication, and then compare that group of people that received the drug to the people that didn't receive the drug and see if there is a statistical difference. So a lot of the research that's coming back right now is not much research at all. It's just small groups of people that received the drug and maybe had a better benefit than someone who didn't receive the drug. But we can't go off of those trials because they're too small. So the government needs the drug to administer for larger trials. Prior to jumping on the call, I just did a quick search of clinical trials with coronavirus. There's currently 157 clinical trials labeled that have coronavirus in the subject line, and a majority of them are withdrawn because they cannot get enough people to enroll in the trial. And then there's a lot of them that are currently they're in a status called currently recruiting. So as you can imagine, these numbers aren't huge yet, so it's hard to get a large population of patients with coronavirus to test a drug to see if it's truly going to help.
Gotcha. As a pharmacist, say I come in the first time, because this is one of my concerns. I hope hydroxychloroquine works with the Z-Pak. I hope it all works. I like to be skeptical, but I like to be proven wrong when it benefits people, if that makes sense. I don't want to just jump because they say jump. If I come in with this prescription and you say, you have any questions? And I say, what are the warnings? What does that sound like? If I can, you're giving me my first prescription ever of hydroxychloroquine. What are the things you're warning me about?
Yeah, that's a very important question, because what we're seeing, and I've read some reports of this, is people just proactively starting to take the drug, thinking that because it's a prescription, that it's a safe thing to have. But anyone that's prescribed hydroxychloroquine, prior to even taking the drug, should have an eye exam done, because the drug could cause irreversible eye damage. The second thing that you need to have done is you have to have your knee and ankle reflexes checked, because the drug can cause irreversible muscle damage. So these are... The drug is serious. It's not as if, you know, you're just taking a Skittle. So the severity of what could happen, the stakes are high. And the drug is highly absorbed within 30 minutes after ingesting it.
Wow.
So the people that, you know, I believe there was one case where the person had an accidental overdose of the medication. This is definitely not a drug you just want to start to take because you saw it in the news that it could help treat coronavirus.
Yeah, and I think one of the downsides, in my opinion, of advertising of medicines is that phrase that's now just commonplace. Ask your doctor if it's right for you. Because really what that turned into quickly was, tell your doctor you want that now. And people go in, they get these medicines, maybe they don't need it. And the reason I asked about the side effects is, the first search I did when this first came up, I saw the first night, it was, I think, Tucker Carlson on Fox News had a guy on talking about this. And I said, let me look this up. I'm kind of curious to see what the side effects are. Because the last thing I want to do, like, if I had, say I had a really bad headaches all the time, and you said, here, take this cyanide tablet, my headache would go away, but I'd be dead. Like, there's, you know, the good is, yes, the headache's gone. The bad is I'm dead. But, okay, let me back up here, because I talk in circles sometimes. Is there a pill for that? Number one. The first thing I saw was that it was a very descriptive warning about suicidal thoughts that made me jump almost. It was like, you will develop thoughts where you want to kill yourself in a violent way. It was something really, have you heard that before?
Patients who have seizures, patients who have a history of seizures, this could precipitate seizures from happening.
Okay.
You know, complete muscle loss is another one. So these are serious reactions that could happen. And with anything in medicine, the benefit must outweigh the risk when you're going to take a drug.
Mm-hmm.
And if the risk right now is you're at home and you just want to take it because you saw it on the news, there's really no benefit in that. So I'm disappointed. The one thing that I am really disappointed in is the communication response of, I guess, our government releasing information that really shouldn't be released. Like this example of these drugs being talked about, they could have just said that we are working on analyzing if certain medications could treat this. The fact that they jumped the gun and released these drugs, number one, has caused mass buying of them. Number two, has caused mass demand for people that to want these drugs. So I don't fully believe in the communications that have been taken.
Tom, and look, I said it makes me feel good about my brain power here, because I said like the exact same thing yesterday. I said, like, the president could have easily just simply said this, and this is, again, he's going to learn from these mistakes. I understand he's not a politician, and I know he's trying to make people feel better, but he could have just said, we're working on these tests and we have some optimistic things. Dr. Fauci, is there anything specific you want to bring up? And then he could have used his medical experience and, you know, to say, you know, we'll get back to you when we have more information, because it did. I didn't realize it was such a run on the medicine. That's news to me, but
And just similar to any other clinical trial that happens, Jason, is most of the time the drugs aren't even disclosed. It's this group is going to receive drug A, B, C, D, and this group's going to receive nothing. So this is, you know, it's not like we have to recreate the wheel. This should have been at least withheld from the public because the ramifications of what's going to happen outside of just the drug not being available for people that need it, but those that are going to really take this and see harm. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to hear about the stories because they're not going to be told.
I did have one question. You mentioned a shortage on albuterol inhalers. And this makes me nervous to think about it. I almost want to reach out to my doctor. That my allergist, because I have really bad allergies, he said, I think you suffer from like a very, very mild case of asthma. That's what he told me. And he gave me an albuterol inhaler to use if I need it. I haven't used it in 3 months, 4 months maybe. They also gave me something called Flovent, which is a very common inhaler, I guess, for treating it. It's a steroid one. Now, yes. I was Googling that. Is it true if you... Okay. They say steroids aren't good. The Flovent, the steroid inhalers, aren't good for people with COVID-19. Have you heard that?
Yeah. So I've heard a lot of things. I've heard a lot of people asking me, Tom, I read ibuprofen is not good if I have COVID. Steroids are not good. Elderberry's not good. The fact of the matter is, there's not research on this. There's no research on this disease because there is no research on this. So these little breakout stories that are happening are certainly not true. I would look at each case as an individual case, and I would say, okay, Jason has asthma. Jason needs to have a rescue inhaler at home in case his asthma gets worse. We can't worry about, and it's you can't, everyone can't think, I need to protect myself from coronavirus, because you need to protect yourself from the disease or the condition you have today and not worry about what you could possibly get. So if you're not worried about your asthma and you're worried about something that you could get, that in there lies the problem.
Yeah. There was a question. Well, it's not a question. Someone's kind of just to, can you tell again, when it comes to hydroxychloroquine, the potential risk to your eyes. What is that? How potentially dangerous is that? And how long do you have to use it?
Extremely. It could be irreversible damage. Depending on the dose that's ingested and the baseline, that's why it's important to get a baseline test done. So some patients might not even know they have some sort of underlying eye condition, but by ingesting that medication, it would just precipitate something from happening. And it's very dose-related with hydroxychloroquine. Mm-hmm. They saw chloroquine, which is a predecessor of hydroxychloroquine, that was very small doses could cause that. But hydroxychloroquine, a majority of it's dose-related, but the baseline testing is extremely important to happen.
Someone's saying, though, it's only risky if you use it long-term, but you're saying if it's high doses, it could happen quicker?
Correct. And if you have an underlying condition that you may not know about,
okay,
it may be short-term. It may be immediate.
Gotcha. All right. Listen, as our text messages just came up, and it's so nice to have the people who take everything and make it political come back. You're all happy to have you back, guys. Suddenly this conversation's turned political. How? Go figure, Tom. Tom DiPietro, the pharmacist and owner of DiPietro's Pharmacy. You're in Dunmore, correct?
Yes, we are in Dunmore, yep.
I'll have to stop by at some point when I can get closer than 6 feet. I'll give you a fist bump and we'll talk.
There you go.
Love to. It was really
great information. I enjoyed listening to you.
Hey, well, I appreciate it. And someday maybe I'll enjoy taking pills from you. Is that a compliment to a pharmacist? I don't know.
We'd rather you not. We want to see you stay healthy. You need just vitamins.
We're all working on it. Thanks so much, okay?
Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.